On a Friday night, Aiden Chen and his wife Tian are at work in the kitchen of their Chinese eatery, Dragon Chop Suey, on King's Highway. Tian cooks, Aiden takes orders and handles money. Patrons order on the other side of a bulletproof window. In St. Louis, there are dozens of chop suey shops like this one, a tiny kitchen behind a thick plastic window that opens to a small room where customers order. Almost all are cash only, and their menus are basically the same. Fried food of vague Cantonese origin, like sweet and sour pork, orange chicken, crab rangoon.
What kind of food you want?
I should probably try the St. Paul.
And then there's St. Louis's homegrown chop suey specialty, the St. Paul sandwich. Deep-fried egg foo young on white bread with mayonnaise, onions, and bean sprouts. At one time, chop suey was an American obsession. Early in the 20th century, Americans of every sort sought out the unusual fare in Chinatowns across the country.
It was like sushi is today. I mean, it was exotic. The restaurants stayed open late, so they got an interesting crowd of, like, artists and theater people and the kind of, like, demi-monde of the various big cities these restaurants were in.
That's Andrew Koh, author of Chop Suey, A Cultural History of Chinese Food in the United States. He says chop suey emerged in the U.S. during the latter half of the 1800s as Chinese immigrants adapted their cooking to suit American taste. This typically involved fried bits of meat or vegetables served over rice or noodles, usually with a brown, starchy sauce. When St. Louis's Chinatown, known as Hop Alley, was leveled in the 1960s to make way for Busch Stadium, many chop suey shop owners spread into surrounding lower-income black neighborhoods where rent was low and demand was high. Food historian Andrew Haley is author of Turning the Tables, American Restaurant Culture, and the Rise of the Middle Class. He says as a discriminated population, chop suey restaurants flourish because they didn't discriminate against their customers.
I think that's when it becomes a phenomena of, I'm going to say the urban ghetto, and I'm going to use that term really with some reservation, but the places where the poorer populations, whether they be immigrant or African American, the chop suey restaurant hangs on in those neighborhoods.
Since its heyday, chop suey has declined, but it still thrives in the neighborhoods of three particular American cities: Detroit, Chicago, and St. Louis. Google chop suey in St. Louis, and you'll find more than 40 listings with chop suey in their name. Andrew Koh says one reason chop suey disappeared elsewhere but stuck around in places like St. Louis is that Asian immigration to the Midwest slowed dramatically in the second half of the 20th century.
And that, of course, is unlike particularly the coasts, the East Coast and the West Coast, where there's a very large Chinese immigrant population in a number of cities. And chop suey has almost disappeared because we have a lot of competition.
Koh says he sees why chop suey stuck around in the Midwest, but is less optimistic about its future.
Well, certainly on the East Coast and the West Coast, chop suey is over. And I think that maybe you can almost dig the grave for chop suey because there really isn't even much nostalgia appeal to chop suey. I think it's going to hang on longer in the Midwest, but I don't see much of a bright future for chop suey, I'm afraid to say.
Don't tell that to Aiden Chen at Dragon Chop Suey, though. He's just taken over the shop from his uncle, who ran it for 30 years. They renovated 3 months ago and are seeking new business.
Well, we are younger, you know. We are now 21st century. So we take care here, all modern, change all the new.
Chen says they've recently set up an online ordering website. Also, he says they hope soon to be accepting credit cards. This is Joseph Leahy, St. Louis Public Radio.